You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
There are only 54 Maui dolphins left, according to the most recent population estimates. Maui dolphins are a subspecies of the more common Hector's dolphin and can be found off the west coast of the North Island. The main pressures on the population include indiscriminate fishing practices like gill netting and trawling, as well as diseases like toxoplasmosis. Louis was joined by University of Otago's Elizabeth Slootin, who is a professor in zoology and has researched Maui and Hector's dolphins for over 3 decades. They talked about the threats to the species, where pressure is coming from, and what changes are needed. He began by asking what their current status was.
Hectors and Maui dolphins have both declined a lot in the last 20, 30 years due to bycatch and fishing nets. So Hectors dolphins are somewhere around a third of their original population size, and Maui dolphins are well below 10% of their original population size. So it's just devastating to hear that that Maui dolphin population has declined even further.
What are the threats to their population sizes?
The main threat is fishing, and really only two fishing methods. So it's gill nets and trawling that are quite indiscriminate also when you think about what fish they are catching as well. So these two fishing methods both use nets. They catch a wide variety of different species. So there isn't even anything that you would identify that this is the target fish species. And then in addition to that, they catch a range of seabirds, marine mammals, and often sharks as well.
Are there things in place to reduce the impact that they have and the harm they have on Maui and Hector's dolphins?
Yes. So the main management method is to have no gill nets and trawling used in certain areas. And so that started in 1988 with just one small protected area around Banks Peninsula. And from about 2008, there has been some protection in most areas where Hectors and Maui dolphins are found, and another extension of those last year in 2020.
So why then? Because Maui dolphins I've seen have dropped now to 54. Why are we still seeing this decrease in population?
Basically because these protected areas are far too small. So the international science community have been recommending to New Zealand that they should protect Hectors and Maui dolphins throughout their habitat from those two fishing methods, from gill nets and trawling. So the IUCN and the International Whaling Commission have both been recommending since 2012 that New Zealand should be doing that, banning gill nets and trawling out to 100 metres water depth in the case of the IUCN and 20 nautical miles in the case of the International Whaling Commission.
So given that these restrictions haven't been put in place yet, is there, because I know fisheries is a big industry, it contributes a lot to the New Zealand economy, is there substantial pressure from the fishing community and industry?
Yeah, that's for sure. There's been consistent pressure from both commercial and recreational fishers at times, but recently mostly from the commercial fishing industry, very consistent pressure. So most of the time when a protection measure has been put in place for these dolphins, then almost every time the fishing industry takes the government to court over these. And this last time in 2020, they did not do so, but they said that they wanted the snapper quota on the west coast of the North Island increased. And so recently, the Ministry for Primary Industries announced that they wanted to almost double the snapper quota on the West Coast North Island. And most of that fish is caught using gill nets and trawling, so that would increase the pressure. So now that we know that the Maui dolphin population is still declining, that absolutely can't happen now. We can no longer afford to ignore those dolphin deaths and fishing nets. And that includes following the advice of the IUCN and the International Whaling Commission.
One of the other threats that I've seen mentioned a lot is toxoplasmosis. How much of an impact does this have? Is that still something that would reduce population sizes, even if we reduced trawling and gill nets?
That whole area of toxoplasmosis is very poorly known. Right now, it's based on a very small sample of dead dolphins found on beaches. So right at the moment, really, that looks like a red herring that is a kind of a scapegoat that you could waste an awful lot of time on first doing research to find out if it actually is an important threat. And then secondly, we have no idea what you might do about toxoplasma or other diseases. Whereas with fishing, it's very easy to find out how many dolphins are being caught, and it's very easy to avoid catching them.
For the people who aren't aware of the population levels and the risks for Mauis and Hector's dolphins, what would you tell them to be like, look, these species are very important and they're things that are special to New Zealand?
Well, aside from being special to New Zealand and only found here, these numbers are just devastating. So Maui dolphin was already listed as critically endangered. And so to see them decline even further, they are literally teetering on the edge of extinction. So we've seen what happens when dolphins' populations are drop below 50 individuals. The vaquita, which is a Mexican harbour porpoise, also when it reached about 50 individuals, it dropped really precipitously down to, they think now, 10 or 20 individuals. So 50 individuals is really, you don't want to go anywhere near that. We need to rebuild to several hundred dolphins before we'd be even remotely safe with these dolphins.
So given that obviously you mentioned once species drop below 50, there's risks for extinction. Given that the Maui's dolphin population is at 54 now, do you still have faith that their population size can recover?
We really need to pull everything out of the bag right now. There's actually an IUCN conference starting on Friday. Basically, the government can no longer ignore that advice from this large international body that deals with conservation. We really need to ban those gill nets and trawling in Hector's and Maui dolphin habitat. And in the case of Maui dolphin, we need to do it yesterday. We really don't have any time left to do anything. Luckily, there is no indication of inbreeding yet, but we will be starting to enter that sort of, you know, extinction vortex where there's basically no turning back.
That was University of Otago's Elizabeth Slootin. Next, Louis spoke to Sea Shepherd's Michael Laurie. Sea Shepherd is an international non-profit focused on the protection and conservation of marine species. Louis and Michael talked about the action his organisation was taking to save the species and the backlash they had faced. To start, Louis asked him what Sea Shepherd's demands were.
It's pretty much what local and international scientists, including the IWC, IUCN, have been asking for almost 10 years now, I think, maybe 2012, which is basically to protect them in their entire habitat range. And that's the issue, that they're not being protected out to the 100-metre depth contour. They're being protected in a sort of a strip along the coast that's not really their entire habitat, and that's the issue. So a good science. So we would like the government and the government agencies to implement what the good science is, and that's to protect them in their full range. But obviously they don't want to because it's economic interests.
Yeah, because Sea Shepherd, I understand, is an international organisation. How do you guys look to take action against the fishing companies and to look to say to government, look, we need these changes made now?
Well, that's why we have this US court case, because obviously, we can't stop them physically with direct action like we have done in some places in the world, like in the Southern Ocean where it's international waters. All we can really do in New Zealand is observe them. We're not really very good at lobbying governments. It's not really our Sea Shepherd specialty area. We don't really do many petitions. I don't know how many Maui dolphin petitions there have been, but there's been a lot of them and they haven't really had any effect at all. Sea Shepherd legal in the state. They come up with this idea about pressuring the US government around their new marine mammal protection laws. And they've got this pretty robust Marine Mammal Protection Act that's coming into full force, and it's reasonably complicated. It's coming to full force in 2022. But critically endangered marine mammals like Maui or the vaquita in Mexico have that coverage, that full force of the regulation now.
Yeah, the lawsuit was something I found quite interesting because it seems like an unusual route to take rather than what you've mentioned, petitions and stuff. Do you know why this route was taken, why you guys decided to go for a lawsuit as your means?
Yeah, but, well, firstly, we asked the American government this International Court of Justice to implement the ban, because according to their regulations, we didn't think the fish exports from Maui habitat were compliant with US regulations. So our argument is they are not compliant. And there's also a precedent for the case in that Vaquita Dolphin has gone down the same route. So about three NGOs did the same thing, pretty much the same court action with the Vaquita Porpoise, and they won the case. And NOAA, which is the sort of effectively their version of MPI, tried to fight it, like they tried to fight this one, and they lost. I think they even lost an appeal as well. So exports of fish from Vaquita Porpoise area in the Gulf of California are banned going into the States. It's the same, so we're using the same legal angle. And the reason why we went that way is because we can pretty much pressure the New Zealand government and the agencies, and also it's independently assessed, so the fishing companies in New Zealand can't sort of spin on it, but they can't, they haven't got any say, like, you know, it's in someone else's jurisdiction.
The lawsuit, what consequences would this have on New Zealand's fishing industry?
Well, that's the thing, yeah, a good point actually, because it might not have, it's a bad look for their brand, really the major thing. It looks bad for their brand, because if you go to all the fishing companies' websites in New Zealand, like Sanford, Tellys, Sealord, They all pimp out New Zealand as being a sustainable green haven, you know, it's all wild caught fish and we're in this beautiful pristine environment. So that's it's a brand damage to their brand, because it's not sustainable, and our marine mammals are under threat, not just Maui, but also lots of other things like our sharks, our seabirds, our penguins, our sea lions, the list goes on and on. We've got a massive fishing industry and we've got very few people. Most of our exports, 93% of our seafood is exported, you know. So what they could do, if the ban did come into place, and I think there's a good chance, you know, they could just sell the fish elsewhere. You know, that's all they could do. They could sell more. You know, I think snapper, most of it goes to Australia, China. They could just up that. But it's going to be annoying. It's going to make their brand look pretty crappy. And maybe it's going to hopefully going to highlight to other countries like Australia, for example, who are one of our biggest customers as far as the seafood goes. Maybe they're going to start thinking, well, you know, do our customers really want to eat snapper from Maui habitat?
I mean, has there been any, because obviously the action was taken in July last year, I believe. Has there been any success since then? Has there been any moves from the New Zealand or American government?
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's been a lot of toing and froing. It's been going on for almost 2 years. So we presented the petition, they said no. And then I think we did an interim injunction and they said no again. And now it's gone to the court. We presented all that evidence, and then the New Zealand government and NOAA presented their evidence. And now there's been the last part of it was a verbal submission. They verbally had to sort of represent the case or in front of the judge. And that happened about 6 weeks ago. That's the last part of the whole case. And now we're waiting on the judge to make his decision.
One of the things that Liz Slootin mentioned when I talked to her, she said that once dolphin and whale populations hit 50 or below, it's almost an inevitable spiral towards extinction.
Oh, really?
And given that Maui dolphin are at 54 right now, do you think that possibly lawsuits are too strenuous and long process to save the species?
Yeah, I mean, it has taken 2 years. I think it's probably quicker than petitions, because, I mean, people have been trying to lobby the government for years. I mean, going back to when they started making law changes in about 2008, this has been going on to try and save these dolphins for a long time. It was probably one of the only angles left that we could really come up with, the only strategy, because there's not a lot else we can really do.
Because one of the things you did mention was that the lawsuits is almost like your last course of action. But are there any other things that you have considered that you guys are looking towards doing in the future if this law doesn't work?
Well, I think what we're doing at the moment, we're getting a vessel that's going to be dedicated to going out on the West Coast for the Maui dolphin. We've had someone that's offered to buy half the vessel for us. It's like a sort of 6-7 metre aluminium power boat, but it will be we'll use for sort of monitoring the Maui habitat, and also use for monitoring fishing boats, because they're protected in, like I mentioned before, in a very artificial, almost like a reservation type strip, coastal strip out to 4 nautical miles. But obviously the dolphins don't know if they go outside the area. And we do know that the trawlers go right up against it. So they are certainly in danger of from trawlers.
Yeah, because Liz Slootin obviously mentioned that there's a lot of backlash from the fishing industry. But from the people you've talked to and fishermen that you've chatted with, I guess, has there been any people who are like, yeah, look, we really want these restrictions to come into place and we'll do things to support you guys?
No, I've never heard that from any fishing people at all. Obviously, the recreational fishing people like Legacy, they're supportive, but not the commercial people. No, there's too much money involved in it for them.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.